invite you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm looking for the big clock on the wall, and I can't find it. So I don't know what that means. Most churches have a big clock on the wall, and there's a reason for it. Because they want the preacher to remember that there is time. And so I don't know that what message that's sending, but I know one I think I'm getting. But anyway, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and find verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Let's pray together, please. Father, thank you so much for the privilege of being here with this dear group of believers. I pray that your Spirit will take the Word of God, make it live, make it applicable to our lives. What a privilege it is to stand in this pulpit of this faithful servant of yours. And Lord, I confess my need this morning of your Spirit's leading, anointing, guidance. Lord, I don't want to just waste time. I want to be a blessing and a help. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you about grace this morning. So when you take that word grace, what does that mean to you? I don't know about you, but when I'm reading my Bible, and I appreciate what Pastor said in Sunday school this morning, when you read these words in terms, what do they mean? There's a definition, but what does that word mean to you? You may can give the dictionary definition or a lexicon definition, but what does it mean to you? You know what grace means to me? It's God giving me what I need when I need it. It's God giving me what I don't have and I need from him. And so I want to encourage you about God's grace. Now, look at verse 7 again. Paul had a problem. Paul had a problem. And who doesn't? Who doesn't have a problem? And we all have burdens. We all have trials. And that really has purpose. And that's my thought here. We have a problem, but there's purpose. You know Romans 8:28, don't you? What does it say? What's the first word in Romans 8:28? You remember? All things work together for good to them are called according. The first word is all. You know what all means, don't you? It means all. It doesn't mean many. It doesn't mean some. It doesn't mean a few. It means all. All means all. That's deep. You can go home and say you had a Greek lesson today. That's deep. But God can take our problems and pain, whatever word you want to call it, and work through them for good. And it'll be his glory, but also be my good, my benefit, and I'll benefit from that. God doesn't waste our pain. God doesn't waste our problems. But my question is, do I? Be a good steward of your suffering and of your pain. God had a purpose in Paul's life, and that was to glorify him. Now, Paul did have a problem, and the thorn wasn't the real problem. The real problem Paul had in his life was his pride. And God's going to free him from that so he can better glorify him and better enjoy him. And that is grace. That is grace. The more I'm free from myself and the more I'm dependent, walk in the Spirit, the greater he can use me. And that's a place of real joy and freedom. And so freeing us from the self-life is a blessing. And so God would use that. Sometimes he uses adversity to do that, to shape us and mold us. So there's the purpose. In 1 Peter, you don't need to turn there. There's a purpose in the problem, but there's a source. And really, Satan sometimes comes after us. Job was a good example of that. The Lord delighted. Job was a blessing to him. I mentioned this to the young people last night. Job was a blessing to God, and he pointed out to Satan. Satan said, oh, yeah, sure he is. Only because you give him everything he needs and wants, if you come at him, he'll turn on you. Well, he didn't. He didn't. But Satan comes at him, and so sometimes the enemy comes at us. We have our thorns, if you want. It may be something physical like Paul had, or Job certainly went through a bunch of physical things. It could be people problems like Jeremiah. The Lord told Jeremiah when he went to preach, said, listen, they're not going to listen to you. They're going to stare at you. They're going to make faces. But that was his thorn, his problem. Sometimes it may be personal, whether it be finances or different weaknesses. But one thing for sure, pain hurts. Probably, and Paul's thorn was real. It wasn't contrived. He had a thorn, and it was painful, whatever. And you say, well, what was it? I don't know. And I don't think we really need it. That's not the point. What the thorn was is not the point. What God did for him and through that thorn, that's the point that we're going to focus on. And so pain calls for grace. Paul knew that. And it's available for the Christian. So what happens when you have a problem or you in pain? What do you do? Well, Paul, in a moment, we're going to see Paul goes to the Lord. But you know what most Christians do? two things. They're two extremes. One is bawling. They have that pity party. You don't have those, do you? Not many people attend. They're only me, myself, and I. It comes to the pity party. You don't do that, do you? They either bawl or they bail. Have you ever met somebody say, well, I used to go to church, but then this thing happened? Have you had people like that? That's sad. So don't be a bawler and don't be a bailer. Neither one of those. What do you need to do? Go back to verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice. You've got the problem, yes, but you need the petition. When you come into trials and problems and burdens, you need to, first of all, just turn to the Lord. You need to go to him. And the thorn sometimes, you know, thorns, when you think of a thorn on a rose bush or whatever, when I grew up in South Georgia, we called them stickers. And whenever the sticker would stick you, you'd move. You know, you step on one, you'd say, you know, that really felt good. No, it didn't. That hurt, and it would make you move. So the prick of the thorn maybe can help you move closer to God. If it does that, and it can if you'll let it. Preacher, I like this crowd. This is a crowd. They're right with you. This is a good crowd to preach to. That just makes me go longer. I'm just kidding, just kidding, just kidding. But you need to take, this is grace. This is grace. And you can take that. He had the petition. And you know, we can go confidently to him. I don't know if you can find Hebrews 4:16 real quick. And so we petition to him with confidence. Let us therefore come boldly, that means with confidence, unto the throne of grace. There's that word grace again, that we may obtain mercy and find what? Grace, there it is, two times in the verse, same word, to help in time of what? Need. So you can be confident. You can go to him, one that'll hear, and then he'll do something. No need to ask somebody if they're not going to help you or they can't help you. Both things are true. God can help you, and God will hear. And so where do you go? Let me implore, let me plead with you, a child of God, go to the throne of grace. Go to the throne of grace. We need to be in the presence of the God of grace. And when you go to a throne, and of course, we're not used to monarchies in our country, but when you go before a throne, you usually humble yourself, you bow before the monarch. That's humbling. But you know what a throne speaks of? Power. If you had a king or a queen, you know, I mean, their rule was absolute. What they said was law. God is omnipotent. He has the power to deal with your problem. So go confidently. Go continually. Paul went three times. And the idea is not just one, two, three. The idea was continuous. It's not like, okay, this is number one. This is number two. This is a continual thing that Paul did. And God wants you to do that. Luke, we're told about a guy had somebody show up at night. He didn't have any food. Went to his neighbor's, pounding on the door. Neighbor said, go away. Can't get out of bed. And he kept pounding. Go away. He kept pounding. He said, oh, he's not going away. He got up and got him food. God wants you to do, not because he can't hear. You know what? He wants you to come to the throne of grace because he wants you to come in his presence. Do you know God wants a relationship with you more than you want one with him? He died not only to redeem you so you could live with him forever, but that you could live with him now. We can go right into his presence and this problem that we have. You know, few ask, very few pursue. persevere in prayer. And so, how is God's grace found? That we saw in verse 16, going to the throne of grace. Now, here's something. No going, maybe no grace. There's some things that God could have done and wanted to do, but we didn't go. And the writer of Hebrews tells us that when there's a time of need, and you always have needs, but it's an opportunity for you to see God's hand like you've never seen before. It's an opportunity for you to grow. I remember one time I was, a few years ago, I just went through a bout of health issues. I had cancer and different things. And I was in the emergency room, and I said, "You knew this was going to happen, didn't you, Lord?" Well, of course he did. I wasn't asking, but that was just a comfort because I knew he was present, and I knew that he would help me, and he did. He gave me grace. The doctor came in, and he said, "Now, we're going to put an NG tube in you." I knew what that was because I'd visited the hospital long enough, and people had told me about it, and what they told me sounded horrific, like it was, "Oh, it's awful, Pastor." I screamed and all, and I went. And Martha was with me. I said, "Martha, you probably won't leave. This is not going to be a pretty sight." Because I knew what I'd been told. I said, "Lord, you know, I need grace. I need help right now." And the nurses did that. And they said, "Now do exactly what we say. And it won't be a problem. If you don't, there'd be a big problem." So we did it. And they went, "Oh, that's the smoothest it's ever gone." It was the grace of God. It really was. It was his enablement. So back to verse 9. There's the problem. I think we'll all agree that we have problems. But here's the thing. If you remember, everything that comes across your desk first went across God's desk. He has allowed originate everything. Even in case of Job, he drew some lines for Satan. He said, "Now you can't go over this line. You can go up here, but you can't go over." So he knows that it caught you by surprise. I remember one morning I was reading my Bible. I had this terrible pain in my back, and I found out it was a kidney stone. I wasn't really planning on that. That wasn't in my day planner. And that caught me by surprise. It didn't catch him by surprise. God knows. And you know, I find comfort in that. Because not only knows what was going to happen, he knows how he's going to help me through it. In such a way, not just, the point is not just getting through. It's getting through in such a way that I see more of him and then the world sees more of him in me. And I glorify him. So there's a problem. Then I hope there's a petitioning. But then there's a provision. Look in verse 9. God said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient. It's more than enough for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." And you say, "Well, he didn't get what he asked for, preacher. He asked for the thorn to be removed." He got something better. He got the grace of God. And he found out that grace was going to be more than enough. More than enough. Sufficient. And so he's in a better place than before his petitioning. And believers see that. We can see that. I remember a fellow in my church in Illinois. He had kidney issues and had to take dialysis. And it was just wearing on him, and it was just hard on him. He finally said, "You know, I think the Lord wants me to go home." And I said, "Well, you know, I respect your decision." He said, "But I need God's grace to have the strength to tell people about Jesus when I'm in the hospital." I said, "Well, I'll pray with you about that." And you know, everybody that set foot in that room, even though he was in a lot of pain and he was dying, he gave them the gospel. That was the grace of God. And he wanted that grace. I remember a fellow asked, we had Haskell Ellis. He was in our church in Charleston where I was an assistant. And he was bedridden. I mean by bedridden, he didn't go anywhere for anything. He was there all the time. Happiest man you'll ever meet. He had a handkerchief. And when I would come in, and I would bring my hymn book, and I would sing. The only place I ever sing solos, because I wouldn't do that to anybody else. But anyway, I sang, and I'd read the word of God to him, and he would just praise the Lord. He'd take his hanky, and he'd go like this, praise the Lord. That was the grace of God. Never once I hear him complain. One time I said, Haskell, what do you do all day? He said, I pray for people. And he said, especially you. I said, well, amen, don't stop. God's grace, this is not some theological word that's way out there, and you say, that's a nice thing. This is a truth. It is theologically based, but it has real impact on your life. The grace of God. And so we go to that throne. And so there'll be growth through that. And Paul did grow. In fact, he'll get to the point where he says, in the end of that verse 9, gladly therefore I glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Not that he went looking for problems, but he knew when they came, something was going to happen because of God's grace. So, do you have a problem? Well, if you feel left out, just hang on. You'll have one. Okay, there's one coming. Don't be disappointed. You say, I haven't had any problems lately. Well, just hang in there. What have you done in the past? In a crowd this size, there's probably somebody right now who's going through something. It could be something physical. It could be something financial. It could be relational. It's your problem. What are you doing? Are you going to that throne of grace? Are you in those two crowds I talked about, that Baal or Baal? When you go through these trials, I tell you on the authority of God's word and on my own personal experience, you'll see something of your God you've never seen before. Like when Daniel stood firm, and you know the problem with his problem was the edict from the king that said you can't pray. He prayed anyway. And God's grace was real. He saw something of God that he had never seen otherwise. Hey, what about those Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They saw something by the grace of God they would have never seen. When I went through that bout with cancer, and it was during COVID, I didn't plan it very well. But anyway, I was in that room all by myself, but I wasn't. I told our church, I said, I've seen the Lord like I've never seen before. Now, I don't want to go down that road again necessarily, but it was profitable. So are you bailing or bawling? I want to encourage you to go to the throne of grace. And maybe today is the day you need to do it. You've just been resisting and maybe even become a little bitter and a little angry at God. You know he loves you. And because he allows these things to come into our life, and let me say this in closing. Because he allows these things to come into your life doesn't mean he doesn't love you. He didn't spare his own son from suffering. And through the suffering of his son, great, great benefit came to all mankind. And here's another thought, too. As you go through it, you don't go through it alone. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. So my encouragement to you is when the problem comes, petition him. Go to the throne of grace and then see what you really need. You think what you need is the thorn to be removed. That's not your real need. Your real need is the grace of God. Will you pray with me, please? Thank you for your kind attention. I appreciate that in participation. As I go to prayer, let me just, is there anybody here say, preacher, I don't know saving grace, let alone sustaining grace. I've never trusted Jesus as my Savior. If I die today, I'm not sure heaven would be my home. Could I just let you know that? Just lift your hand real quick. I don't know that heaven will be my home. Okay, thank you. Maybe you'd say, preacher, you're right. You know, I have a problem. I'm in a problem. I need the grace of God. I really haven't been approaching that throne. But God spoke to me about that this morning. Just slip your hand up. Your pastor will see that. And he'll know how to pray for you. Just slip your hand real quick. I need the grace of God. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for its sufficiency. I pray, Lord, that we'll take the truth that you've given from the